Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the GeoMob Podcast. Today, it's my pleasure to speak with Anton Venemoser, who I had the pleasure of meeting a couple weeks ago back at the last GeoMob Barcelona. Anton is one of the people behind a project known as CoMaps, which is an OpenStreetMap-based consumer-focused mapping application. And so he's going to take us through kind of the story of this project and what it's all about and what they're building. Anton, welcome to the show.
Hello, Ed. Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me over.
Introduce yourself a bit, man. What's your background in geospatial?
Yeah, I'm a mechanical engineer from studies, but my interest in the mapping scenario became during the pandemic with the lockdown. As I started mapping an OpenStreetMap, and then I ended up discovering MapsMe and all other consumer end applications that were using that data. And it's been 5 years or a bit more since the pandemic. I've been involved in OpenStreetMap and then later in Organic Maps as a contributor. And now I'm part of the people that started CoMaps.
Maybe very quickly take us through the story of CoMaps. How did we get to CoMaps? Because you mentioned MapsMe and Organic Maps. So I don't want to go super deep into all the back thing, but CoMaps is kind of a split off of Organic Maps, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, exactly. CoMaps is where I was. It's a split up from Organic Maps. We've been in Organic Maps before, and then many contributors were having concerns about how the project was going, especially where it was heading in the future. We didn't know what the intention was. We communicated these concerns in the community. Well, Organic Maps is also an open source community. And there was no, we communicated internally with the owners of the shareholders of Organic Maps. And that's where CoMaps was the last resort to make a fork and to start over again with the source code. But to give a bit of a background where Organic Maps comes from, it's from MapsMe. And it's MapsMe began in 2011 as a consumer end application to compete with applications like Google Maps and such. But it was a venture. So it was for commercial purposes. They open sourced the code in 2014. So it got a lot of improvements back in that time, and it was a success story for a startup that was sold to a company, a big tech company in Russia, and later on it was resold. And since MapsMe was sold, the development of the app became not very satisfying for a lot of users that were used to use OpenStreetMap in MapsMe, and they tried to monetize the product, and it became not a good app for many people. So that's where Organic Maps started. Organic Maps started using that open source code from MapsMe in 2021, at the beginning of 2021. With the idea of doing an open source application. It was established as a company in Estonia, in Estland. And it was developing, it was being developed open source, and it was financed via donations from users. So Organic Maps still exists, as does MapsMe. And CoMaps started as a fork of that project.
And the goal is to build a consumer application, basically a competitor to kind of Google Maps or Apple Maps, if I understand correctly. Is that right? It's for normal people just trying to get around their city or area, or is there any particular focus, any particular use cases?
Yeah, the app is supposed to be user-friendly. I mean, that's a very important goal of us, so that anybody can use it as an alternative to Google Maps, and that it's very easy for, even if your mom wants to use it, she should be able to learn it very easily, in opposed to other alternatives. So that's a very important goal, to keep it simple but yet powerful. And the app is it's based on OpenStreetMap data, so that means the users can edit the map itself. So if you find an error, you can go and fix that error. Or if there's a restaurant that's missing and you want to have it in the map, you just can add it in a couple of.
Yeah, I am a user of GoMaps, and one of the key features is, of course, the fact that you can download the data and store and use the app offline.
Which
is very useful, particularly if you're in an area with very high roaming charges, or you know, when that use case of travel is. I've used it. I'm based in Europe, and I went to the States last year. And you know, if you don't pay attention, you just use up so much data so quickly, and it gets so expensive so fast. So GoMaps is a great service in that regard. So.
Yeah, the offline feature is at its core. It's very important for it. It's very useful if you travel and you don't want to buy a SIM. It's also useful if you don't have coverage, which is sometimes very important when you need a map and you don't have coverage of that region. Especially if you're using the app for outdoors activities, which is one of the use cases. If you don't have coverage, you still have satellite location. If your phone happens to have a satellite receiver, which is the most cases, so it works very fast because it's offline, and also that saves a lot of battery because it's not like always communicating bandwidth internet, so it saves a lot of resources on your phone, so it doesn't drain your battery, and that's a very key feature that the app has.
How many people are using GoMaps? Do we have any idea? Or are there certain types of people? You know, is it more popular in certain countries than others, or certain regions, or certain use cases? Like, I have no idea, hiking or biking, or give us any information you can share in that regard.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to guess because we distribute the app in Android and iOS, but also in Android we have the Google Play Store, but also Android. So the stats in F-Store are like kept private, but from Google Play Store we have over 50,000, and I don't remember now the numbers in iOS. It must be something similar, probably less. But overall, we estimate that we have over 1,000 users. 100,000 users. And I make my guess that most of the users are OpenStreetMap editors enthusiasts at the beginning. This is our core user base, mainly because they were the most aware that we split it from organic maps, and they had the opportunity to make an informed decision on what to choose. It's not a small number, but it's not as big as other competitors, of course.
Well, this would be one of my questions. Is it that people are choosing GoMaps because they already know OpenStreetMap and they understand the benefits of OpenStreetMap, and maybe they're already an active mapper and thus they want a tool that uses OpenStreetMap? Or is it the opposite? They use GoMaps because someone introduced it to them, and then through GoMaps they enter the OpenStreetMap community.
I guess this is very hard to know. I think the more the project grows, the demographic changes. I think at the beginning we are like more of like the base is OpenStreetMap. They come from OpenStreetMap, and then we are starting to see people that are installing the app without having any clue about what it is, which is the challenge, because people, OpenStreetMap can have a good coverage in some regions, or it doesn't yet. It's still you know, growing in some communities. And yeah, I mean, like from the stats, you can see that many people in Europe, of course, and many in the US. And sometimes you have like in Google Play, you can see the stats of the countries and you have like spikes in, I don't know, Thailand we have, for example. We don't know why. Maybe there was a news coverage or something. But it's starting, the more it grows, people come without knowing OpenStreetMap. So it's a challenge because if people see an error in the map, they don't, you know, it's a hard thing to explain to the people that this can be fixed.
Yes, yes, I'm very familiar with this problem. We have it all the time in my business of trying to explain to customers or potential customers, you know, even the concept that they can edit the map, they can edit the data. Yeah. This completely, you know, people have been so trained in the opposite direction by Google that they can't do anything. So it is a very difficult concept for some people to understand. So
yeah, and it's a difficult concept for OpenStreetMap itself, for us, for everybody that's using it and trying to explain it. You know, we have like an about page where it tries to explain what it is, and we're trying to make that a change in that user face, in the interface to teach better or to put it in simple words what OpenStreetMap is. It's really hard, but we wanna like, one of our main goals is to promote OpenStreetMap because it's most of the contributors come from OpenStreetMap, are mappers, you know, like are active members. So it's in the DNA of the project. It's going to be forever.
This is my next question, Anton. You mentioned we. Who is we? And what is ComApp? It's a open source project. It's a business. Who's working on this?
Yeah. So ComApp is a community driven project. Like we started as 8, and now we are over. Depending on what you count, like there are people contributing to it, but we have like over 40 people actively engaging in chats and contributing, and already over 70 people sign up. We are growing as a community. It's ComApp is a nonprofit. This is a very important part of the project. And this is, it changes the philosophy of the whole project. There's no intention of money at the central part of the project. So this is something very important. ComApp is 100% open source. It's meant to be free and it's meant to be universal for everybody. And universal as in like...
But then how do you... I mean, surely there must be operating costs like servers and bandwidth and things like this. How is that paid for?
Yeah, so like... we get donations, and we have a platform where people donate, and we are 100% transparent of what we receive and what we spend. And people are paying for these like donations from users. They can be very small or very big. We are thankful for every donation. Sometimes we even receive donations from people that put a server to serve the map downloading feature. The cost that are for ComApp, like what's running, it's mostly right now it's almost entirely hardware and like the map generation server, and we are currently not paying anybody at the moment. So this is something it's expected to happen in the future, but we are not ready yet for that.
Gotcha. Okay. So what are you working on? I mean, as a user of the service, I can say the core functionalities of, you know, browsing a map and, you know, using it in my day-to-day life to navigate seem to work quite well. So what kind of features can we expect, or what are people excited about?
Yeah, so there are many highly requested features we've been for a long time wanting to cover, which are like traffic, for car navigation, it's important. And public transportation, for example, is very important. And we there's been like a huge effort from one contributor that's making advancement in this, in putting this structure for traffic data.
Where do you get the data from? Because I mean, the hard part there is actually getting the data, right? I mean,
yeah, that's a very important question. Like, because the case like Waze and Google Maps, it's like it's the user gets tracked all the time, and the position is sent to the server, so they know that they were how the traffic is based on the users having right. like crowdsourcing the. But we are not looking at that approach. We are instead looking at open data. It comes mainly from governments, for example, in Germany or in Spain or like mostly many European countries. That's going to be the approach. So this is a very important part of like where to choose data from and how to be privacy respectful, because this is very important, of course, especially in our project. It's a fundamental value.
Any other highly demanded features or what?
Yeah, we have.
No, what are people asking for? How do you deal with the fact when do people ever complain when something's not in OpenStreetMap or how do you deal with that?
So the thing is, like, we cannot promise any plans we have because people are working for free. So people working wherever they can and wherever they enjoy us or like are interested in improving. So of course, like there's like we know what we wish we could have, and then there's a reality, you know. So highly requested features are satellite imagery, public transportation routing, and the list is there's a very long list. And then if you look at the issues or like the tickets we have. It's over 1,000 or almost over 1,000 issues. That some are bugs, but most of them are improvement requests. And this is a thing when you do open source, people are like they work on whatever they want and wish and are interested. So the plans, we cannot promise anything because we are not hiring people to improve for example the public transport. So what we have right now, it's, for example, there's been recently a contributor very interested in improving the public transportation using GTFS. And that's where like we were in touch with, there's an interesting project in Germany, based in Germany. It's also a nonprofit, also open source. They're trying to, well, they're already doing it. They are already, it's for public transportation routing with GTFS. So they organize all the feeds from all the sources they have. So you can just use their API. So we're already like making the first steps on that direction for public transportation, because currently we only support subway systems, which is in our app it's only based on OpenStreetMap data. And it's proven to be, it works, but it also often it fails to be stable, so to say. Sometimes there are regions that are like, for example, the London subway or the underground, I would say. it's missing in some releases because there's been an edit in OpenStreetMap data that crashes the whole generation for the subway.
Yeah, it's so hard with that type of real-time data, right? And aggregating it from so many different sources, each one is slightly different, and obviously different things in different countries and different public transport networks and things. So, do you have any idea of how many people are editing OpenStreetMap through CoMaps? I mean, is that a normal behavior for a CoMap user to use? To contribute back, or is it more a case of like 99% are just kind of consuming and maybe 1% kind of contribute, or maybe that's even too high of a number?
Yeah, we filled this. I don't have them in my memory now, right now, in my mind, how many. We keep the statistics on, like, on not per user of comaps, but like per, you know, like OpenStreetMap is public data, so there's a statistic on which editors people are using to improve the maps, and it's,
yeah, sure.
And you can see the share of how many people use, for example, Osman, or how many people use ID, or, you know, so we already have, I think we must be at maybe top five editors. I don't know. It's
okay. Well, I mean, for me, this is so important because, yeah, we need to get, well, I mean, one of the criticisms in Europe, at least, is that, you know, OpenStreetMap typically has all the streets and the addresses and things, but the POI data, the restaurants and things like that, is an area where OpenStreetMap is still a bit behind. And it's, of course, very hard because they're changing all the time. And anything we could do to get, you know, it's not like we need everyone to edit. We just need to get the critical mass of people so that the data set becomes actually usable. It's not like, you know, for a big city, it's not like you need tens of thousands of editors. You need only just enough to get above a certain threshold. And so I think the work that you and everyone else are doing on building these tools like Comaps are so critical of how we can get people into, you know, to understand what OpenStreetMap is, to make their first edit and to start, you know, make it part of their normal routine, that when, you know, they go to a shop and all of a sudden it's closed, you know, then they say, oh, actually it's closed, let me add that to the map or whatever. You know, that, because that's the only way it's going to work, I think, to actually become a truly viable data set in the long term.
Yeah, I agree totally. You said that important word, it's like critical mass, you know, and I think that when you reach a certain threshold, then, I mean, when there's a good portion of the population that uses this data and knows they can edit it, it's viable for it to be updated. Points of interest are the weak point of OpenStreetMap data, in my opinion, too. It's hard because normally I think, like, if you're a business owner, you will create, like, most people just create put it in Google Maps and forget, because of course, like, it's sure. Where the majority is, but, like, of course it would be nice they will put it as well in OpenStreetMap data. Sometimes they don't even know where it lands, you know, if you put things in OpenStreetMap data, they don't know, like a business owner doesn't know that it could land in, you know, a Microsoft.
Well, I agree, but I can't really blame the business ever, because obviously it is complicated. And I mean, this is one of the weak points of OpenStreetMap. Like, you know, I can understand how a business owner would say, they wouldn't even have the concept, right? They would just say, oh, I need it to be in Comaps. And then they go into Comaps, and then Comaps sends them to this thing called OpenStreetMap. And then, you know, it's easy to get lost along the way, right? So we need to continually work on how do we simplify that, and simplify, as you said, put the messaging in very simple to understand words. And I think we also need to find ways to work with people. You know, are there people who can aggregate this and do this for many business owners, like agencies or whatever? I think the community needs to do a better job of trying to work with those kind of people, because, you know, with all the risks involved in terms of abuse and things like that, and automated edits. But there must be better ways to push to get us over that threshold of usability and correctness. Because once we're there and people start using it and depending on it, then they have incentive to make sure it's correct, right? And so, you know, it's kind of the case where the better it gets, the better it gets, because then everyone's using it, and then the errors become more obvious and you have more eyeballs looking at it and things like that. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I'm starting to rant, Anton, so I'm sorry. But tell us some more about Comaps. What is the best way for people to get involved in this project? If anyone out there listening says, this sounds great, how can I contribute?
No, like, I mean, if you're new to OpenStreetMap, it's just using the app. It's very nice and friendly to edit from it, and you can learn how your changes replicate in other places. That's the best entry point. Like, and if you like the app, you can like visit the website and look at the many ways you can make a change. If you, for example, if you have a language you can contribute, like, I mean, like a different language you speak, you can translate the app. It will help reach more people and be more inclusive and diverse. Of course, code contributions are very welcome. The app is based on C++, and it's for Android and iOS. It's used Java and Swift. So these languages are good if you have them, but they're not necessary if you want to contribute in other parts of the code. There's a lot to improve. Like, if you know OpenStreetMap data, how it works, if you're an editor, sometimes it's very useful to, you know, like improve the data we consume from OpenStreetMap, because there's a lot of changing tagging schemes and how you define things, and we need to build that bridge to keep continue come ups having a coverage of the full potential of OpenStreetMap.
Yes, I agree. That is a big challenge, keeping on track of what people are putting into OpenStreetMap. I mean, this is of course the blessing and the curse of OpenStreetMap is that anyone can put in anything. So
yeah,
we then as a consumer of the data, you have to be ready for anything. So, all right. Well, I wish you and your colleagues the best of luck, Anton. And it's great that that we have another project that's getting OpenStreetMap out there into the real world, getting people using the data, getting them depending on the data, and hopefully then eventually contributing back to the data. So any final thoughts that you want to leave our listeners with?
Welcome everybody to Comapps. Be open to ask questions in our many channels. We are actively in different platforms. We are in Codeberg mostly. We took a decision to move out of GitHub and start with Codeberg as an alternative. We are trying to, we're happy with Codeberg, by the way. If you can come over and join us in the discussions over there, and we will be very happy to hear your feedback and all you have to say about it.
Well, thank you very much, Anton. I encourage everyone to take a look. We will, of course, get relevant links into the show notes so that people know exactly where to go and to dive in. My one last request for you, Anton, is, of course, that you're going to come speak at a GeoMob Barcelona in the future, or your colleagues maybe, or also in other cities, because it's an important project and we need to get it. I think there's a lot that can be learned by everyone. So we'd love to have you at an event talking about the progress you've made. So
thank you, Ed. Yeah, I will be happy to be there in the next event when I have the opportunity. It could happen that I'm in Barcelona and we do it there, or we have, for example, people in London. Maybe that will be the case. But always happy to meet you again at GeoMob.
Thanks very much, Anton. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us today on the GeoMob podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and find links to our accounts on Mastodon and LinkedIn, so that you can stay up to date on all our upcoming events. We hope to see you at an event soon.